Welcome to the Recapture Your Life podcast with Steve Crenshaw.
Welcome back. This week we're going to talk about doing hard things and getting out of our comfort zone with the things that matter most to us. Doing hard things is the call of the success-driven lifestyle. And while most of us live in our comfort zone, I know I try to stay as near my comfort zone as I can. And since you're listening to this, I have to assume you do too. But the problem with staying near our comfort zone is that we only grow outside of our comfort zone. When we're in the discomfort zone is where we need to live at least some of the time if we want to grow in any area of our life. The author Robert G. Allen said, "Everything you want is just outside your comfort zone." And I don't know if everything I want is outside my comfort zone, but I know that growth is outside of my comfort zone. For me, reading a book isn't comfortable, writing in a journal isn't comfortable, and doing this podcast isn't comfortable. But I know I want to grow, and I know that doing this helps me to continue to grow. I'm not a guru, I'm just a guy. But what I want to focus on in today's episode is doing the hard things that matter, not just for the sake of success. So what does our comfort zone look like? Our comfort zone is anything we do that doesn't require us to think about doing it. This can be a job, surfing the internet, playing video games, watching the news, or hanging out with people that just reinforce our beliefs. Any of these things in themselves are not bad. Comfort zones are not bad. They're just not where we grow. Your comfort zone is a place where you can live indefinitely without growth, especially without dealing with fear. It's the place where you can perform everything you need to do and not get in harm's way. Staying in the comfort zone is where marriages fail, employees get stuck, and ideas fade away. Comfort can ruin us. And the longer we stay comfortable, the smaller our comfort circle becomes. But knowing this can help us figure out what our motivation is, and we can use that to move us towards growth. Understanding our comfort zone and motivation goes all the way back to a 1907 study by Robert Yerkes and John Dodson, where they studied mice. And if you read many journals about motivation, you will find out that mice have been used for a long time to study what motivates us. But what Yerkes and Dodson found was that mice were motivated by electrical compulsion. That's a nice way of saying shock therapy. Some of the mice would fight on and finish the maze. Some would hide, and some would freeze. And where that applies to us is, with too little motivation, we're going to stay stuck. And with too much fear, we're going to freeze up completely. Only when we get the right stimulus will we have the right response, and then we grow. Here's an example from life that you may have seen. Let's say Bill and Jim get a job at the same time. Bill and Jim both do the job extremely well. They know how to do it. They know what to do. They know how to do it the right way. They get everything done on time. But Jim decides to go to school at night. He's learning how to type faster. He's learning to work on computers and networking. Maybe he's learning some new programming language, and he's building himself up. The next year, Jim gets promoted and Bill doesn't. What Bill says is, if they want me to do more, they should pay me to do more. But Jim says, if I want to get promoted, I have to get out of my comfort zone and learn new things. Both men start the job at the same time, but with completely different attitudes. Jim's comfort circle continues to grow because he's getting outside of his comfort zone. Bill's continues to shrink because he refuses to do the things necessary to move on. And Bill's going to take one of probably three different paths. He's either going to start to grow and move up in the company, or he's going to stagnate, stay where he is, and keep getting passed over for promotion by new hires. Or third, he's going to change jobs and expect that job to give him what this job won't. We can do the same thing with family. People get married and make no effort to grow in the relationship. And of course, the physical attraction we have will keep a relationship going for a few years. But building a relationship is hard work. If we're going to stay married for any length of time, instead of taking the easier, comfortable way out and giving up, we have to work at it. So what are some hard things we should focus on? The first thing I think we should focus on is our spiritual life. And I get it. It's hard to get up in the morning and journal or say some prayers or meditate or read some spiritual writings. But having a deeper spiritual life will help the other parts of life start to fall into place. And you have to figure out what part of spirituality is right for you. I'm not here to sell you on any one version of spirituality. What I'm saying is, you need to find something that works and focus on it. What I will encourage you to do is to get an app. I'm not getting paid to say this, but to help you start down the spiritual path, I prefer the Insight Timer app. It's my absolute favorite. I turned a lot of people in my circle onto it, and it has helped me for over the last 6 years. The second thing I think we should focus on is our relationships with our loved ones. When was the last time you asked a deep question of your significant other? When was the last time you just had coffee and listened to each other's dreams? Think about your kids, if you have them. Are you listening to what they're saying? Or are you telling them what they need to believe? Are you helping them understand the world, or are you forcing them into a box? What about your friends? Do your friends stretch you and help you grow? Or do they just regurgitate your beliefs? The next thing is finances. It's hard to save money, and I understand that. But if we save a little, give a little, pay our bills, and spend what's left over. Making a budget is hard, but that's the only way that I have found that has helped my family stay on track. Finally, focus on your health. For me, this is where my hypocrisy really shows. At one time, I weighed over 300 pounds, and I lost 70 pounds over a year and a half. And I was comfortable at 230, but I couldn't maintain it. And I would love to blame COVID for it, but it's not. It's my love for sweets. This year, I turned 50, and I've been to the doctor more times in the last 4 months than I have in the last four or more years. And I have several things wrong with me that could have been avoided by just doing a couple of easy things sooner. It's nothing life-threatening. It's just pain that I shouldn't have to endure if I were taking care of myself. Here's another example. I know several men over the age of 70, and they fall into two groups. One group has a positive outlook on life and does a little bit each day to take care of themselves. The other group has a terrible outlook on life. Everything is negative, and all they do is complain and take pills or continually have surgeries. For me, in 20 years, I want to be in the first group. I want to have a better outlook on life, and I want to do a little bit each day to take care of myself, which is what I'm learning now, so that in 20 more years, the problems I have today won't be compounded. Because I can guarantee you, your health will compound itself. If you're good today, you will be good in 20 years. If your health is deteriorating a little bit today, it will be even worse in 20 years. That's my soapbox. Getting off of it now. What I think we have to remember in all this, everything we do is a choice. These are all things that have long-term benefits. If we want to live healthy lives into our old age, we have to take care of ourselves. If we want to stay with the people we say we love, we have to work at our relationships. And if we want to live a life that is full and positive, we have to work on our spirituality. And in the end, if we want to have money, we've got to save some today. All of these things are easy, but starting to do them is hard. If we do just a little bit every day, starting with 2 or 3 minutes, the interest we get back will compound over time. And I've talked about this before with goal setting. Start with the smallest, easiest thing you can accomplish and do that first. If you want better relationships, buy and read a book. Or better yet, Listen to a podcast or an audiobook on having better relationships. That's easier than reading a book. But every step you take puts you closer to your goal, no matter how small the step is. And with each step you take, you feel better about what you're doing, which creates a positive feedback loop. The positive feedback loop reinforces your commitment. And when you feel good about what you're doing, you want to do more. You have a choice whether or not you're going to stay in an ever-shrinking comfort zone or whether you're going to grow and live the life you were put on this earth for. All right, that's all for this week. Thank you so much for listening to the end of the podcast. If you enjoy what you've heard, please remember to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. I'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.